So I was going to say that fortunately there's a paper in press in PNAS, and I'm talking about recovering continuous conformations and reconstructing the energy landscape of a molecular machine. And this is a collaboration with people in Wisconsin I'm talking about here. These people, they developed the algorithm and did all the computations. Then we had people that were involved in handshaking and essentially connecting the different formats and conventions, which were completely different on both sides. It took years. Then we had people working on the data sets, and then our collaborators at University of Maryland produced a lot of ribosomes and purified from yeast. Okay, so what? This is one of the recent results. Is yet unpublished, where we got 3.6 angstroms and various. So this is all from one data set, and again, this has been produced by Relion, and there's a lot of data that fell down the cracks. And then the question is, of course, is this exhaustive? Yeah, are these the only states? Is there anything in between? And there's really, what about continuous changes? Do we impose the model assumption of discrete states due to the limited computational power? Most applications for Relion that I'm aware of rarely use more than k equal to 10 groups, because then the computational resources cannot cope with it. So continuous distribution of states, if they exist, will be artificially chopped into discrete clusters. And k means is doing this very well, as we know. So we just talk about classification as a two-step process. The image variation due to change in viewing angle are quite large compared to image variation due to conformational changes in binding states. At least we can just confine ourselves to that part, kind of situation. 2D variants are very obvious when we form an orientational average in a particular viewing direction, and we see something murky is going on, which means that this is not a homogeneous set. And you can do this with your own data set and produce these kind of variances. So the now idea is the classification of continuum state and mapping of the energy landscape. We have projections in all different directions. So after the initial orientational classification, we always wind up with a data set. And we know there are conformational changes in there, and we don't know how they're related to each other and so forth. So you can conceptually subsume them under the concept of a manifold. So there's a manifold that the data form in projection direction one, and there's another manifold that the direction that data form, which are in another direction. So now I already talked about the premise that the conformation changes are small compared to the changes in projection direction. So step one is we sort the particles by orientation. Now, we have n-dimensional manifolds, and the n is really a number of degrees of freedom of the system. And that's not going to be changed in when we look at different directions. But the character of the manifolds is quite different. This because the conformational changes manifest themselves differently in different projection directions. So the big question is how to map these manifolds to each other and to all the other manifolds that are formed by data pointing in all the projection direction. So is there a mapping, some kind of synchronization that allows us to collect all particle snapshots from all directions that originate from particles in the same conformational state, and then do the same thing for all conformation that we encounter. Well, so this, I'm going to explain the algorithm as we go along. As far as I can explain the algorithm, it is very complicated. So we have 80 S ribosomes from a cell extract from yeast. They've been extracted in such a way that essentially nothing is left. There are no mRNAs. There is tRNA just in a subset. From an initial 1,100,000, 150,000 good images were reserved and processed. And they were Polara recorded on the good old Tietz 4K by 4K CCD camera at 1.5 angstrom per pixel. So these are the kinds of images that we have. And now what is being done is a diffusion map embedding, the description of the curved manifold in terms of the orthogonal eigenfunctions of the Laplace-Beltrami operator. So the whole idea is that the manifold is quite curved, and we cannot simply apply the normal kind of PCA. We need to go into the space. We have to follow the data on the manifold and let the analysis be directed by this. So this is the kind of these are the two eigenvectors of the five eigenvectors, and they show us some kind of distribution of the 5,000 images that happen to fall in a particular projection direction. So now we just stay with this particular projection direction. The 2D projection view is this here. And then these are now additional changes that are superposed on top, and they are exaggerated, okay? And I just want to show you what they do. Okay. All right, so this is a very complex conformational change. We cannot say this is just one thing or another thing. Here's the other one. Here's along number two. Okay, so they capture particular aspects of the conformational changes that we have in this particular projection direction. So now comes the big question. If we have all these kinds of beautiful observations, and how do we link them to each other, and how do we extract the data that relate to the same projection angle back? So there's the what they call the nonlinear Laplacian spectral analysis to map the manifold into another space in which the eigenfunctions and metric are known. So this was a very crucial step that they realized that needed to be done. Now, the intuitive interpretation in this mapping is now that the density distribution of states sampled should be the same for all projection direction. In other words, if you have a five-dimensional manifold, there are certain places where there's a sort of relative sparsity, and then there's another little relative sparsity, and then here's a group. And all this gestalt of these here really need to match to each other. And it has to be sort of distorted to make this matching possible. So this is an analysis that obviously is completely free of any model bias. And if the structure doesn't even go into this. So the analysis goes, determine snapshot orientation, as I already said, select snapshots within orientation aperture. This is a small aperture. Find the conformational manifold. Determine the number of degrees of freedom. It happened to be 5 until we disappear in the noise here. Repeat for many Then map to the space of known eigenfunctions. Reconstruct the energy landscape. Well, this really stands for reconstruct the distribution. The distribution of particles in a different states, and that can, by Stefan Boltzmann, this can be simply translated into an energy landscape. Now, we can compile a 2D movie. I showed you this 2D movie. We repeat this for many orientations. Now we have to patch the information from the different orientations together. We can now compile 3D movie and make an interpretation, and let's see what we're going to wind up with. So This is the energy landscape that was produced from 800,000 ribosomes. We see that there is a trough of very low energy, which is sort of triangular and is almost forms a closed line. So this is, of course, intensively interesting because it tells us that most of the particles are here and they are sort of idle here. And we analyze this now by fitting, MDFF fitting, analyze the different conformational motions that we could detect. And they are here, plus R increase in the subunit rotation, increase head, close up, increase head swivel. So these are all the different conformational changes that we know from the elongation cycle. And of course, we have the suspicion that this has something to do with the elongation cycle. It just looks very intriguing. So let's see what is happening. Now we can, as I said, now we can reconstruct the ribosome from all data found at a particular point or little area in this trajectory, and then compute the viewing from a particular site. And here's the factor entry site. So you're going to see the movie of these changes, and at the same time, you see this little point running around. There's a little point that tells us where we are, and you can see the structure changing as a function of where we are. Okay, you can already see, get the idea, that one of the changes is really the intersubunit rotation. But it's a very complex number of motions that are involved, and it is not just this one, it's a combination of all these. Okay, so you can see this little point running around, and here we see it from the top. Okay, so now what we did was just select a number of maxima along this direction here to see what these particular states are doing, and then one sees the motions much more much better if one sort of goes along. Okay, so we have all three views now, and we are running around this racetrack. And we can see that there is a combination of all these head swivel and so forth. If we follow here, it is really in the logical sequence of the elongation cycle. And from what's been reported from the literature, they're all involved in decoding in a certain way and the translocation and so on. Well, the fascinating thing, of course, is that this ribosome is not doing anything. It is just the ribosome apparently assumes all these different conformations, stays completely at random, and it's sort of idling along under thermal bombardment. So the fascinating result here, it seems to come out, is that there is an ensemble property to this molecular machine. And so there is a much more general adaptation through evolution than we had even imagined. And here, finally, I show you what happens as we run around here when I look at a particular projection direction. So conclusion is the continuous range of conformations can be explored with this kind of method. The number of degrees of freedoms of a molecular machine can be determined. We can construct the free energy landscape. What I failed to say is that we can distinguish 50 different conformations along this racetrack alone. There are many more conformations that you could distinguish. So it's really truly a continuous conformational mapping that has been achieved. The way is open now for exploration of the way ligand binding, temperature, buffer condition, and so forth change the landscape. And I already pointed out, Rab assumes a wide range of conformation in the absence of functional ligands, and these conformation changes are reminiscent of those used in the elongation cycle. Thanks for your attention.